Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KALW's weekly radio magazine of the performing arts. I'm your host, David LaTulipe. This week I'll talk with Stephen Stocking, who is featured in the Theater Works Silicon Valley's performances of Archduke.
Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air, KALW's radio magazine of the performing arts here in the Bay Area during times of COVID. Quite a challenge, I must say. I'm David LaTulipe, your host. A reminder that our shows are archived at KALW.org if you want to hear some recent shows. This week for our Corona Radio Theater, we're going to have a close look at London during the Blitz, with Theater Rhinoceros joining us for the third time for our live theater initiative. It's The Battle of Britain by John Fisher, who acts in the play with Gene Moxie. In the blackened streets of the Blitz, two men find each other. One of them turns out to be a spy. Composer Brian Baumbusch. I'll talk with choral conductor Robert Geary and composer Danny Clay about their collaboration for vocal ensemble Volti's 42nd season. And with choreographer Robert Moses about the 25th anniversary of his dance company, Robert Moses Kin. Stay with us. To the pandemic, Robert Moses Kin was in the process of hosting pop-up performances once monthly across the different counties of the Bay Area to celebrate its 25th season. But instead of postponing, RMK turned the shutdown into an opportunity to go virtual and expanded the idea into a national experience, engaging dancers throughout the country and evolved the anniversary celebration from RMK around the Bay to RMK around the USA. Very pleased to have Robert Moses join us virtually by Zoom now to talk about how things are doing. First of all, Robert, I hope all is safe and happy with you and your family.
Oh, we're great. We're good. We're enjoying some intensive time together. And the change in situation is very interesting.
and the company, how are they surviving in this time?
Well, you know, the company is adjusting. It's a really different way to try to manage live performance, to try to manage a company of people who are creative and have a need to sort of generate an output that is meaningful for people, that people engage with. So it's a little different, but we're all still putting out what we're doing.
Indeed, and this certainly was a change, not exactly the way I think you expected to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Robert Moses Kin.
No, but you know, the thing about artists is that we are flexible. You know, we use the term creatives, and in this environment, I think we are all figuring out what it means to be a creative. It means, you know, that kind of flexibility that you need to make your life work. So it's not just about solving a problem. It's about solving the problem and still bringing joy into your life.
Mm-hmm. And has the troupe been able to assemble at all during this time? Is everything virtual?
We have. We've done a few things where we've socially distanced, of course, in the park. We did a short piece to a funkadelic song that a collaborator of mine who used to play for Blondie, Paul Carbonara, played a version of Maggot Brain, and we danced to that in Golden Gate Park. And so we've gotten together a bit, but not nearly as much as we'd like to. Definitely not with as many people as we'd like to.
Indeed. One of the things that has got to be a challenge, of course, not only the physical contact that you're so used to as a dance company. I mean, that's part of the joy of dance, is being in a room with other people and being able to experience that physicality. So as much as the video end of things are helping things be shared, it's got to be a different experience.
It is a different experience. You don't read your partners in the same way. It doesn't have the same kind of intimacy that it has when you're in the room sweating with someone, and you can smell their breath, and you know if they drank last night or, you know, I have to be careful on the radio, so I can't say certain things. But the but being in the room with someone and feeling their weight as you're working on something is a completely different experience. Yeah, absolutely.
And you, since last March, you've premiered 5 original video works, all choreographed by and with original music and spoken word scores by you and other collaborators. Let me talk a little bit about your own musical language.
Sure. What would you like to know?
how are you composing?
I do it by ear according to how I feel, and maybe according to something else I'm working on. So currently I'm working on a book, several pieces of music, and any number of movement pieces. And all of those can develop independently or in concert with one another, or they may surprise me and separate or join at any moment.
And so how physically are you composing? Are you actually using a score? Are you using a piano? Are you just using your own voice?
All of that. So if you, I don't mean to be sort of mysterious about this, but you composing, I don't think, is now what it once was. You can use any of those things. I have a keyboard that at this moment basically plugs into the computer, and then I play whatever 100 or so instruments that are on the computer that are of interest to me at that moment. But I mean, I'm not going into a room with 3 or 4 other people and sort of jamming in the moment or something like that when you're making the sound. I'm right now looking at the computer, figuring out what the instrumentation is going to be and arrangement, and sort of move forward that way, discovering in a new way how to sort of bend sounds or change them in a way that I wouldn't necessarily have before, because they have to live in a way that they haven't lived with me before, and that is primarily, at least in the moment, in a digital world. So if I'm used to making things that are going to go into a live environment, then there's a certain kind of definition or redefinition of the music that the dancers bring to it. But if it's going to be in a digital environment and there's no live component to it, then the music has to live in a particular way in relationship to the dancers, and there's not any flexibility necessarily in what the dancer does, because the dancer is digital as well.
We have a recent clip from a recent virtual production, The Silence of the Black Artist. Frankly, I'm not sure whether we heard that at the beginning of the show or not, given our technical aspects. If we could have Debbie cue that up again, Flex Time for Star Order. Tell us a little bit about it as she brings that music up.
I'm not sure which one. You have Flex Time coming up?
Correct.
No, this is Black Artist. This is Silence of the Black Artist. And with everything that's happening with Black Lives Matter and there being the sort of partnered phrase, Black Arts Matter, I'm part of a COHI that meets once a year around the country that's trying to bring more visibility to arts that are centered around people of color.
Well, let's have a little bit of a listen to that, and then we'll talk a little bit more about what's coming up with other Robert Moses things.
Thank you.
challenge because we're always kind of curious as to what we would be seeing actually on the stage. What were people seeing, or can they see through robertmoseskin.org if they were to go to that clip?
Sure. If you go to, it's on YouTube, or if you go to robertmoseskin.org, it'll be on the website, or it's on our Vimeo site as well, which is also robertmoseskin.org. And it's a single solo figure outside during this time, during the time of COVID. It's simply moving to that breath, to that repeated near the tension of one sound and the breath of another, and a voice that's nearly articulate but isn't. So, yeah.
Nice stuff, and very creative stuff from the pen of Robert Moses, his music for Robert Moses Kin. You've got a great blog at robertmoseskin.org in which you contribute quite frequently. In fact, just yesterday you updated, offering some insight into la vie d'artiste, which I believe can apply to dance, music, any sort of creative activity. Let me see how much of it I can quote on the air, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that. You say that artists need control in order to seize subjects. Control over a subject suggests, at the very least, consciousness, and that in turn speaks to intent. Interpretation must be acknowledged but managed because it seeds control. Interpretation acts as a bribe validation from the uninvested to the craftsman. That is why the art world has become a cult of interpretation and collaboration filled with democratic gesture, extreme extremes, and extreme middle grounds. The escape of responsibility is the lure, and it is as sweet as, can't say that on the radio. Accepting validation from someone else leads us away from clarity in the work. Artists self-medicate after failure with the drug of interpretation. Interesting stuff there, Robert, and quite profound, I think.
I think it's basic. It's hopefully it's as plain as can be there, but it's about an artist's responsibility both to themselves and to whomever the audience may be, and to perpetuity, you know, that you have to stick by what you do. And we have gotten to the place where anything goes, and we've decentered artists' intentions in some ways. And so that is speaking to that idea.
Interesting ideas, and something to think about for all of us that are involved in the arts. You launched this fall a virtual training ground featuring company members teaching virtually and yourself offering some occasional virtual workshops. Those are available still at robertmoseskin.org as well. And we do need to give you a little shout out for kudos for the work you did for Our Students, For Our Schools, a film that was produced to support the San Francisco Unified School District's Spark fundraiser. Tell us about how and why that came about.
Sure. That was the very first thing we did during the shutdown. We have, my wife and I have two kids. And somewhere, I don't remember exactly whether it was my wife or I, heard that there were some obscene amount of kids in the school district that didn't have access to appropriate digital sources and equipment, school lunches. There was a very specific number that sort of blew my mind, and I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly what that was. And I thought, well, we're sitting here right now, and let's do something. So the first thing we did was we called the school district and said, can we do something? They put us in contact with Spark, and they said, go for it. And we did. I called some dancers up and I said, can we do something for the schools? And everybody was in. We jumped in and just created it like that. Just I sent them some prompts and worked with the material with them over the internet and phone. And we produced it. And Spark, by the way, is still going. So if anyone wants to just say this, if anybody wants to donate to the schools, please feel free. That was done a number of months ago, but obviously we have to support kids getting an education. I mean, not to get off onto a different thing, but it's so much more difficult for children to learn in this environment than I think any other they've ever had, because they're not even actually in the environment. They are in many other environments that are distracting, that are unsupported, where teachers are finding new ways to try to get information to them. So I feel really strongly about supporting schools in that way.
Well, very happy to cross-promote that, as KALW is owned and operated by the San Francisco Unified School District, our licensee since 1941, the oldest FM signal west of the Mississippi, as we like to call in our moniker. And we appreciate your support in that way of the district and the efforts of the tough ways that kids are trying to get by now in their educations. Robert, we wish you well with your virtual world of dance. And we hope to point some people to robertmoseskin.org through our open air website, and we'll have you on again soon.
Great. Thanks, David. Take care.
Happy holidays and good health to you.
Okay. You too. Stay well.
Cannot Leave by Ted Hearn. Movement 5 of Privilege from Volte's House of Voices CD. The incredible voices of Volte, led by Bob Geary. Bob Geary, who joins me now by Zoom through the magic of radio from Mendocino, also being joined by Danny Clay shortly, composer who's involved with Volte. Bob, welcome back to Open Air.
Thanks, David. Nice to Zoom see you and hear you.
Indeed. We Cannot Leave. I think that could be appropriate for where we are now in the pandemic as well. What country is going to let us come into their country? We cannot leave. But tell us a little bit about that beautiful music of Ted Hearn we just heard.
Oh, well, that was the first collaboration we did with Ted Hearn, and it's turned into a wonderful trajectory with him as he has made his way through the compositional world. He was the winner of our competition for young composers quite a few years ago now. And that was the resulting piece, the set called Privilege. And that last, and it puts together some really interesting themes. Ted is always deep into social theme stuff. And in that case, the set of five pieces were dealing with social isolation. He used some text from the writer of The Wire, the well-known TV show. And that particular piece actually was relating to the train leaving in South Africa that had to do with displacement. It's hard to give a simple explanation to Ted's music, but you can hear the sort of beautiful sadness that informs it in that opening section.
Indeed. And again, a beautiful segue into our current situation, although not intended that way. This year's 42nd season of Volte is all online, consists of free cocktail hour concerts featuring four premieres from Bay Area composers. Tell us how those composers were selected for this.
Yeah, it was really, as all arts organizations and all people, all of us went through the shock of how do we even continue our day-to-day, what we have come to accept as normal, because all of our normals were just shaken right down to the roots. We were radically impacted. And for a group that for 41 seasons had sent out a schedule and all the singers would meet regularly at rehearsal time and they'd drive to get there and they'd spend 3 hours working very hard and they'd drive to get home, all of a sudden, all of that was off the table. And so, as was just mentioned and by Mr. Moses there, we adapt. And for we musicians, it's how do we continue to be creative, continue to kind of explore new ideas of vocal music in this environment. And because we work, you know, Volti works exclusively with composers in new music, it was really kind of my process to say who among the composers we work with might be well suited to creating something that was actually intended for performance online. So we don't do the the tic-tac-toe box of singing heads quite the way others do, where they're trying to capture other already created repertoire and turn it into a choral concert, although there is some of that in what we do. But really, we have composers who are saying, how can I manipulate, be creative with the tools that are at hand? And so we picked four composers, Danny Clay, who we're going to hear from shortly, Ann Heggy, Joel Chapman, and Pamela Z. And a couple of weeks ago, we brought forward Ann Heggy's new piece called It Sounds Like All My Dreams. It was very successful. She wrote some electronic music for interludes. She brought in some video, and she wrote out some choral music. And in her case, she had six of our singers singing live during the performance using a low latency tool, but she also had some pre-recorded material by the 16 people in the group. So that was her approach. We presented that on YouTube. And now we're in rehearsal. Well, actually, we've completed rehearsals for Danny Clay's piece, and I want him to talk about what he's doing because it's amazing and radically different. And Joel Chapman has just started rehearsing, and I can't even tell you exactly what Joel's process is, but it is going to have to do with access, ableism, disableism, things of that nature expressed through musical tools and voices and video presentation. And Pamela Z is still off on the horizon, so we don't yet have any idea really what she's doing, but we're extremely excited to work with her.
Oh, that should be fantastic. I love Pamela's work. But let's involve Danny Clay now. Danny's a composer and teaching artist whose work is deeply rooted not only in collaboration, but in curiosity and the sheer joy of making things with people of all ages and all levels of artistic experience. Welcome to the conversation, Danny.
Thanks for having me, David.
Well, talk a little bit about this way of composing. It's a little less than traditional.
Sure thing. I graduated from the San Francisco Conservatory of Music with a master's.
I've heard of that place.
It's down the street, right? I graduated from there in about 8 years ago with a master's in composition. Right out of the gate, I started teaching elementary school music, which really kind of like blew my mind open in terms of the creative possibilities with younger musicians who don't necessarily read musical notation or haven't learned sort of like the nuts and bolts of conventional classical music the way that, say, a group like Volti knows inside and out. And so for the last few years, I've been exploring how professional musicians and young musicians and amateur musicians can kind of work together to actually kind of compose and improvise collective compositions using anything but traditional notation, like musical games and video prompts and text prompts and the whole kit and caboodle.
Well, some of your recent projects have titles like Ukulele Olympics, Turntable Drawings, Recorder Racing, and Counterpaint, which makes me wonder, is the Apothecarium your sponsor for some of these things?
if only.
But thinking outside the box is always wonderful. And imagine, especially working with young people, they always have an innate curiosity that's a joy to work with.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, David, you know, the best thing about working with a group like Volti is that they are so, despite sort of the often quite challenging, difficult music that they perform, they are all so ready to just dive in and to act like kids, well-trained kids, but kids.
Yeah, well, this this particular work you're working on takes up sort of a virtual game show format. So what are the sort of musical challenges that the Volti ensemble will be trying to complete?
Sure. So, you know, the way that this work came together, unlike Bob mentioned Anne Heggie's piece, which had a pre-recorded component and a live component, my work is sort of this strange hybrid of it's not quite live and it's not quite composed. We met over 6 weeks for an hour and a half each week, and we played live Zoom games with each musician recording their room separately, but all happening at the same time. And so everything in the piece is completely improvised, but the work itself is actually pre-recorded, and I'm in the process of stitching together the results of these improvised games. I gave them, you know, things like little text prompts. I play this little game with elementary schoolers called The Sound Of, where I ask them to fill in the blank, the sound of, you know, wind, or the sound of the worst trumpet in the world, these ideas. And then I ask a group to kind of make their version of the sound at the same time. I played, you know, a lot of these really simple, you know, children's games with Volti, but drawing on their kind of like, you know, vocal virtuosity. I gave them lots of video scores to try out, where, for example, they would see a video of Bob giving random conducting gestures, and I asked them to score what they thought, seeing what they thought Bob was leading them in. Yeah, all kinds of crazy gestures. I gave them what I call IPA obstacle courses, the International Phonetic Alphabet. You know, the strange, complex collection of symbols.
I thought we were going beer there for a minute with the IPA, but no, I guess not.
That's you know, during performance, right?
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, so really exploring all of these different, basically, I would say any sound that the human voice can make, the members of Volti made over the course of our rehearsals.
Well, it's thanks to the incredible leadership of Bob Geary that this ensemble is able to do that. Bob, Danny's music is kind of, I would venture to guess, unlike any other that you've done.
It is very much so. And I love it because it calls on the singers to abandon their training in a way. I mean, they couldn't do what Danny asks them to do probably without training, or at least Danny pushes them because he knows that they have that. But they really, it is not about reading music down to the finest degree, or producing a bel canto or any other type of singing tone to the finest degree. It's really about, as Danny said, being creative vocally, and to not have a written score also. But it's infectious. It draws the singers in. They love it. And it draws our audience in, too. You become a little more participatory as an audience member when what's happening has this spontaneity there. And also, I'm a has-been. I mean, I just stand by and watch these rehearsals. All right, Danny actually put me to work a little bit, but what's happening is these online things really eliminate pretty much the need for having an actual conductor.
Uh-huh. Well, that'll give you more time to be tempted by some of these massive waves that are pummeling our coast right now. As a surfer, I'm sure you've been tempted.
A different topic, yes.
Yeah, but be careful if you do go out there. So, Danny, after in addition to work with Volti, what other collaborations are you looking forward to?
Well, I've actually got a show coming up right at the end of your radio hour, David. over on Facebook a group called Communication. It's a youth choir based in Minneapolis, in St. Paul, actually. I'm working on a collaboration with them. It's an animated graphic score project. They created their own musical notation and for themselves and a professional choir based in Minnesota called Impulse to Perform. So yeah, that's coming up. You know, it's over on Facebook. If you go to the Communication Facebook page after this show, you can check it out.
And I know you've collaborated with the Friction Quartet. Kevin Rogers was my guest last week.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, the Friction Quartet and I go way back, and they're some of my favorite collaborators to work with.
Well, learn more about Danny's creative music at D, as in David, as in Danny, dclaymusic.com, voltysf.org for more information on what Volti is up to. Volti, singing without a net, as long as they're not singing without a mask, although virtually, I guess that's okay, right, Bob?
Yes, and David, Danny's piece will be aired on December 19th. I don't know if you had that information.
I was just about to say that, December 19th at 5:30 p.m. Go to voltysf.org. And we have an ever so brief tease of a clip from your work that will be premiered then. Let's hear that now as I say goodbye to Bob Geary and Danny Clay. Thanks for being with us. Singing Puzzles, music of Danny Clay, and you'll be well taken care of if you treat yourself to hearing some of Danny Clay's music, either through dclaymusic.com and especially through voltysf.org for the premiere of Danny Clay's work on December 19th at 5:30. I'm David LaTulipe. You're listening to Open Air here on local public radio, KALW, always worthy of your support anytime at kalw.org. It is Open Air, our weekly radio magazine of the performing arts. And since COVID hit, we've taken an initiative here on Open Air that has taken off quite well. It's called Corona Radio Theater, where we've had folks do both original and old-timey type radio dramas. It's a chance for actors to stretch their wings and do something live rather than just talk about their projects, to actually do something live as a theater experience on radio. And this week, we're pleased to welcome back folks from Theater Rhinoceros for the third time for Corona Radio Theater. It's The Battle of Britain by John Fisher, who performs with Gene Moxie.
The Battle of Britain, a play in one act for the radio by John Fisher, with Gene Moxie, Christine Uren, and John Fisher. Location, London, 1940.
September 1940. My name is Felix Applegate. My wife Joyce and I were living in Mayfair. I was with the Strategic Air Command Planning Division. Joyce worked in Coastal Air Defense. She was down there on the week, home on the weekends. It was a long walk home for me, in Whitehall where I worked, at night, in the blackout. During the raids, the Luftwaffe was pounding London. But the target shifted. Usually the air raid was elsewhere in London. And I had the city all to myself, in the darkness, I and those like me.
Guten Abend.
Excuse me?
I'm joking. My name is Marek.
Oh, Marek. You're,
Polish. Escaped from Warsaw in 39. Landed here. What's your name?
John.
Creative. Can I kiss you, John? Sorry, am I mistaken about you and this encounter?
No.
Then...
Yes. Please, kiss me.
Darling.
Oh, my lord, you frightened me.
So sorry.
I didn't expect you home till Saturday, darling.
Yes, I've been transferred to Air Defence London.
Oh.
A promotion, I suppose. Oh. The colonel wants me in London. I came up right away. Tried phoning. There was no answer here or at your office.
No, I had to go over to number 10. Meet with the PM.
My goodness, how thrilling. How is he?
Loquacious.
Wonderful.
And drunk.
Did he offer you one?
Well, 4 or 5, actually. And he wears the most shocking purple jumpsuit and talks in that slow voice. Never in the course of human conflict has one man consumed so much and done so little for so many.
Darling, you're wet through with sweat.
Oh, that. Yes, Freda Messerschmidt took a liking to me and chased me across Hyde Park.
My darling, that's awful. But terribly exciting. My poor dear.
Do you remember me?
Ah, yes, Marek.
Hans, actually.
Oh, very good. Tonight, I'll be James. Oh, I love games, roles, play acting.
I'm afraid my name is Hans. I've studied you. I know your body. You have a scar from a hernia operation in an intimate place.
Why are you telling me this?
I'll tell it to Scotland Yard soon enough if you don't cooperate as proof of our intimacy.
What? Who are you?
My name is Oberst Baron Hans Müller von Trotz. I am what's known as a German spy.
My God, you'll peach me.
We have these laws in Germany too, laws against degeneracy. They come in quite handy for just this sort of thing.
What sort of thing?
Blackmail.
What do you want?
The location of your bombers. Let's start with that. Squadrons, towns where they are based, location of defensive emplacements.
I'm not privy to that information.
Then find out. I wouldn't want to embarrass you. To your wife, to your nation, to your chum, Savini.
Welcome home, darling. B&S.
Oh, I need to tell you something.
Oh, dear. You sound so dramatic. Have you gambled away our savings?
This is serious.
Cards? Horses? Please don't tell me dogs. They're so common.
No, it's not any of those things. Sit down.
All right. I'm fully seated. What is it?
I have encounters on the way home in the blackout. It's bound to come out. I'm being blackmailed.
Encounters?
Intimacies.
Intimacies?
Dalliances.
Could you be more specific?
I see men in the dark.
How? Do they glow?
No, I mean, I don't see them. I see them.
This is all very confusing. Are they on fire?
No, I... Oh.
Oh, yes. Oh, I see. I do see. You have intimacies with other men in the darkness. Yes, well, you would, wouldn't you?
What do you mean?
Well, you did go to Oxford.
True.
Well, I suppose it's better than with another woman.
You're being very glib.
Well, I am shocked and all, of course, but it's hardly surprising.
You knew?
Well, generally. You had all those gentlemen around you when we met.
Gentlemen?
You were quite a menagerie. You and your Oxford set.
Was it that obvious?
Now you're insulting my intelligence.
This could be our ruin. I'm being blackmailed by a German.
A German?
Yes, I had an encounter with a German, but I didn't know he was German.
There are Germans here? In England? How exciting!
How is that exciting?
Well, spies are thrilling! I had no idea there were actually Germans here. I bet they're dropped off by submarines. This is too thrilling. Homosexuals delivered to our shores in submersibles.
Joyce!
Do you suppose they're like you to begin with? Or do they just bite the bullet and do it for Der Führer and the Fatherland?
Bite the bullet? Now who's being insulting? I'm not unattractive.
Oh, no, darling, of course. You're beautiful. I suppose all Germans are capable of that sort of thing. All that sadistic Teutonic behavior, Freud and all. They're ripe for deviant sexuality.
I wish you'd take this seriously.
I know just whom we should talk to.
I don't want to talk to anyone.
No, this is a golden opportunity. We'll talk to my colonel tomorrow. He'll set you up.
Set me up?
Yes. Now, tell me about your Hun lover. Well, Colonel, what do you think?
A hernia scar. Clever, these Huns. Bloody clever.
Do you think he came over in a submarine?
Either that, or he parachuted.
Parachuted? Could this be more fun?
Now you listen to me, Applegate. You give that barsh bastard exactly what he's asking for. You go right ahead and you give it to him.
But that's treason. Is that what you two are? Jerry's in disguise. Joyce, are you a Nazi?
Of course not. They're horrible about women. I could never be a Nazi. Housework. That's all they let women do. And babies. Can't stand babies.
No, no, no. You don't understand at all, Applegate. We're going to give you phony information. Phony bomber squadrons. Phony bases. And when those kraut cretins send their bombers over to get them, we'll be waiting. The RAF will make short work of those Nazis. How about that for putting their dirndls in a twist?
I think it's lederhosen. The women wear the dirndls.
How about that for putting their lederhosen in a twist? John!
That's not my name.
I must talk to you.
Leave me alone. I've given you the information.
But it was wrong. You set me up. Our planes were destroyed over those phony targets. My superiors in Berlin want my hide.
It's your own bloody fault. Try to blackmail an Englishman. Don't you know our vices are our strengths? The British Empire was built on depravity and a stiff upper lip.
Please, I want to come over. Tell your superiors. I want to double team you. That's what I want to do.
I beg your pardon?
Double team you. Yes.
What?
Double.
What? Oh, double agent. Those other things are quite different.
Oh, yes. I want to be a double agent.
Oh.
Colonel, do you love me?
Of course I do.
But is this right, the two of us carrying on?
Your husband carries on. It's the way things are now. We're all traumatized by this war. Trauma is assuaged by carrying on. Read Montesquieu. Read Seneca.
Should I tell him?
Read Demosthenes.
I want to confess to Felix. It sounds so romantic.
He can only cause trouble, my dear. Men like to think they're the only ones who have affairs.
Is your wife having an affair?
Certainly not.
Good evening. Sorry. This is embarrassing.
You're supposed to be out enjoying the air raid.
Yes, sorry. The raid was short tonight, and then the streets filled with people. There's a new twist I need to tell you about, Colonel. Oh, incidentally, how long has this been going on?
June, was it?
I think it was July.
Oh, yes. June was that other fellow.
The German spy wants to come over, be a double agent.
But that's extraordinary. I was sure they would have shot him by now.
Maybe he's a triple agent trying to trick us.
Yes, you just might be right. In that case, we should be able to trick him back.
Then he'd be a quadruple agent.
Now let's not get ahead of ourselves.
But what should we do?
I have an idea. If he could get me into Germany, I could foment discontent amongst the Hausfrauen, start a women's movement. That should disrupt their war effort.
But do you speak German?
Of course I do, darling.
How on earth did you learn German?
Records.
Oh.
It's worth a try.
But I want to be parachuted in. Oh. I've never jumped from a plane.
Do you think it will work, Colonel?
I think it has a bloody good chance. Half the German population in revolt. Their war effort will grind to a good old German halt.
Next stop, Olympic Stadium, Berlin.
Women of Germany, this war is destroying our country. I'm calling for a complete withholding of all intimate relations with men until our leaders have reached a peace agreement with the British.
Hello? You wanted to see me, Herr Spymeister?
This is your fault, Hans. It's a catastrophe. Berlin being bombed by night and a woman's movement crippling the war effort by day. It's your fault, Hans. You failed to get the British bombers, and you brought this foreman into our country.
I have a solution, Herr Spymeister. We encourage that which we fear most.
Communism?
No.
Truth?
No.
Fair elections that we don't contest when we lose?
No, no. Homosexual relations within our army.
Yeah. Das ist gut. The soldiers will sleep with each other. It solves all our problems. Und it is ideologically consistent. Nietzsche, I've always thought, was that way.
And it's what our soldiers truly want.
Of course. Alert the propaganda ministry. The vice of the Greeks will be the vice of the fatherland.
Darling, I'm home.
Oh, how did it go, darling?
They fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. The German women's movement is in full swing. Complete abstinence until peace. And the men are contenting themselves with each other.
So propagation has ceased in Germany?
Yes, there will be no more little Nazis for a while. The thousand-year Reich will soon be a childless dictatorship with no future. While the democracies continue to breed.
Brilliant.
Colonel, you're here in my dressing gown.
Oh, I did go to Oxford.
I'm exhausted.
B&S.
The Blitz, the Battle of Britain, performed by Gene Mochi and John Fisher. John Fisher's original work as part of Radio Corona Radio Theater here on KALW, with special thanks for Christine for sound effects as being part of all this. Feel free to jump in here, both John and Gene. Congratulations, a terrific performance, and I'm so glad we got those technical things resolved. It would have been a very different experience.
Yes, it's all about the sirens and the explosions.
Well,
thank you. Nice. Thanks for having us.
Nice work, John. Is that an excerpt from a larger work, or is that the full thing?
I think that's the whole thing. I can't imagine what else there is to say on that. We've solved the Third Reich in 15 minutes, and time to move on to the next challenge.
It is. Speaking of next challenges, first of all, let me check in with Gene and Christine. I hope all is well with you and your families.
So far, nope.
Yeah, can't complain.
Good to hear.
Yeah, no, it's just like everyone. We all have our issues, but you know, John is just so prolific and really keeping the ball rolling and all the Theater Rhinoceros stuff. There's all kinds of things going on. You would just think there was no interruption almost.
You should have one of those little bass drums from the Energizer Bunny attached to his chest.
And you're moving back into your regular season, right?
That's right. We have our second show of the season opening tomorrow, Alligator Mouth, Tadpole Ass. It's a really funny play by a great Latinx writer. It's starts tomorrow, Friday, December 11th, and plays through December 20th. So check us out at therhino.org for tickets to that show. That's our big season show, our second of the season.
Very nice. And thank you all for joining me for Corona Radio Theater and keeping live radio theater alive here on KLW.
Thank you, David. This is always a pleasure.
Reminder that we broadcast the LA Theater Works on Friday evenings from 8 to 10. We will hear at the end of the show what's up for this week's show if Debbie plays the promo afterwards. I didn't look up that ahead this time around. but let's have you on again from Theater Rhino, therhino.org, for more what's going on with you guys. Thanks again.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Fascinating conversation when he was back in town here for his show at the Golden Gate Theater, which was last few weeks of which were interrupted by the COVID pandemic. A couple of other extra things to be aware of on the cultural front. The good folks at the Oakland Ballet are presenting their first ever drive-in movie theater event with five screenings of Graham Lustig's version of The Nutcracker, projected on the north wall of its Oakland home at the historic Paramount Theater. While indoor theaters remain closed due to COVID, the Oakland Ballet will continue its annual tradition of The Nutcracker, bringing the season's merriment to audiences outdoors. Those screenings will take place the 20th through the 24th, Sunday, to Thursday at 6 p.m. each day. The parking lot at 2100 Telegraph Avenue will be open at 4:30. Learn more at oaklandballet.org or get your tickets at eventbrite.org. I'm sorry, eventbrite.com. It's also an interesting way to present an annual tradition that the American Bach soloists do up at Grace Cathedral. They usually do a join in and sing Handel's Messiah at Grace Cathedral. This year, it's a YouTube premiere with options to watch, sing along, play along, or even create an event with friends. Now, this can be done around the world now rather than just here in San Francisco. This will take place on Saturday, December 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And you can learn more about that at AmericanBach.org. One of my favorite versions of the Handel's Messiah Hallelujah Chorus comes from Three Sisters that were for a long time kind of a folk-style singing group. And they're the Roaches, Terry, Maggie, and Suzzy. We lost Maggie recently, but it's always a pleasure to revisit their version of the Hallelujah Chorus. Three sisters, incredibly attuned to each other. Let's hear them now singing the Hallelujah Chorus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I'm not sure if you heard the information about the Messiah at Grace Cathedral. Learn more at the American Bach Soloist website, AmericanBach.org. And you may not have heard also, I'm not sure, given our technical situation and the world of Zoom, whether you heard that the Oakland Ballet is doing a drive-in movie theater of Graham Lustig's The Nutcracker to keep up the Oakland Ballet's tradition of their annual presentation of the Nutcracker. Learn more at oaklandballet.org or at eventbrite.com for tickets. I'm David Latulippe. You've been listening to Open Air here on Local Public Radio KALW. My thanks to Debbie Kennedy for her Cirque du Soleil-like skills in juggling audio excerpts, Zoom participants, remote texts, and cues from me to keep the show running as smoothly as possible. And as always, to my cat herder-in-chief, Neil Swinkles. Today's show will be added to the Open Air, always available archive at KALW.org. Check out some past shows, including my long talk with Sting there. I'm David Latulippe. You can email me at david@kalw.org if you've got a comment, encouraging word, or a future show segment suggestion. Thanks for listening.